Kevin McCullough says she is the most needed editorial voice in print today. Listeners have voted her fan favorite for 4 years running. The amazing mind of Carol Markowitz, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Enough money in my case, my wife's case, it came from a book that I wrote. Pretty good book. You might want to read it. It was a bestseller, sold all over the world, and we made money.
Is it just me, or does Bernie sound a lot like Trump when he's selling stuff like that? That was the weirdest comment. Hey, pretty good book. Might want to read it. That's too much Larry David, I think. It's hard for me. I can't really do a very good Bernie. Anyway, Carol Markowitz, who I know can do a much better Bernie than me, rejoins us. Hello, Carol. How are you?
How's it going?
Good.
That was very Larry David. That was really straight out of a sitcom.
I don't understand really that there's much difference between the two of them. And when they were on SNL that two or three times in the 16 cycle, it was really a stitch because David could sound so much like him. And, you know, they were just a dead ringer for each other. Anyway, hey, I want to say thank you to your very kind tweet yesterday. And I know you relegated it to Catholics, but as an evangelical and as someone who's a faithful Christian, mm-hmm. I was very moved by it. And you were expressing condolences about Notre Dame. And you said that your heart hurt specifically for your Catholic friends. Explain what you meant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Notre Dame was a building that represents so much in Western civilization to all of us. And so, of course, it's devastating on every level. But it's also a religious building. And I think that's being a little bit glossed over in some comments about the art and architecture of the building. And it's a giant loss to, Catholics in particular, but Christians in a wider sense.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad for my friends who are suffering because of it.
Yeah. It was surreal, Carol, watching the coverage yesterday, because it was as though, and I don't know why, the French authorities could not get water there for what seemed like hours on end.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like you were watching something in slow motion and you couldn't stop it. No one could do anything about it. And it was just the saddest thing. I mean, my bride and I just went to Paris together for the first time last October, which was in kind of celebration of our 15th. We'd both been previously separately, but Paris is kind of one of those cities you kind of want to do with your significant other. And we took a lot of pictures at Notre Dame. And so it was a very difficult day in the McCullough house. Even our little 4-year-old Charlotte, who has been just dreaming of the day when she gets to go to Paris to see the Eiffel Tower and Notre Dame. She knows the landmarks already because she reads all the pop-up books that, you know, we keep buying her, which is kind of feeding a self-fulfilling prophecy here. But it was a sad day for her. When she realized it was Notre Dame, it was like a very traumatic thing.
Yeah,
so.
That's really sad. I mean, people are saying it's very metaphorical for what's going on in our world, and how we're watching.
Dennis Prager has a great piece on that today in townhall.com if people need to read it. And I think he's spot on, actually.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that.
Yeah. All right. Hey, let's talk about your column. Yesterday in the Post, last night, Fox News Channel hosted a 1-hour mm-hmm. forum for Bernie Sanders to just blabber his crazy. And he did.
Right.
Like, I was pinching myself going, what is this I'm watching on the Fox News Channel? But you've written about Bernie.
Yeah.
You saw some of that. What's your take on all this?
You know, it's amazing that he does not get more pushback. It's really shocking to me. He is not very well spoken, and his comments do not get any follow-ups at all. You know, he says things like, let's break up the banks. And no one's like, well, how are we going to do that? Or let's get the pharmaceutical companies to charge less for medicine. And there's no follow-up. Like, how? How do we do that? But my column on Monday was about how Bernie Sanders is a capitalist. I mean, let's face it. That's what capitalism is. You make something or you do something that people like, and they buy it from you, and you make money. Hello. I mean, so
enough in his case to buy 3 houses.
Exactly, right. And the fact that he's pushing socialism on the rest of us while he maintains this capitalistic, income is kind of ridiculous. And, yeah, he thinks he's special because he wrote a book and it sold. Well, that's what companies do. That's what people do. That's what Amazon, that's what all the companies that he harasses do. So, yeah, I think it's absurd that he thinks that his version of capitalism is something different than the rest of us.
But forget the socialist label for a second, Carol. Isn't that a larger mm-hmm. philosophical problem for the political, sociological, even spiritual and theological left? Isn't it always a set of rules for us and a different set of rules right. for everybody else?
Right. And, you know, and Bernie's not alone in this. I call out some other people in the column, too. Michael Moore, he thinks he does something different than other capitalists do by producing films. Bill de Blasio, when he says that, you know, the money is in the wrong hands and I know where it is. Well, I know where it is, too. It's in Bill de Blasio's hands. He has a $2 million house in Park Slope. Actually, somebody corrected me yesterday and said, no, he has two $2 million houses in Park Slope.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't feel like... Do we know where the money is? Yeah, Bill de Blasio has it.
Well, and the fact that he believes that he knows better where to spend it and how to allocate
right.
it is kind of weird. But the problem with these guys that are all running for president is, of course, they want to take over the federal treasury. They want to take over all of the money that the GDP brings in. And when you do that, if you stick with suggestions like the Green New Deal, we may be able to take a bus to Hawaii at some point in the future, but it's going to be about 15 years from now, and we're not going to spend a dime on education or the military in the process.
Right. We're going to rebuild every single building in the country in the meantime, in just 10 years. So it's going to be my magic. We're going to, I always like to say whenever I hear any Bernie proposal or whatever, like, to the money tree, you know, because
yeah.
it's a fantasy land. They should be called on it more often. I just think that's like a real travesty that media doesn't push back on.
Well, we do at this show, that's for sure. Hey, let me ask you real quickly about the polling, because Bernie has overtaken Biden as of today in some latest polls.
Yeah.
It's his to lose, isn't it? He's still really ticked
Absolutely.
Off that Hillary cheated yeah. him in 2016.
Absolutely. I think that Bernie could easily be the nominee. I think I said this on your show either last week or the week before, but Bernie fans want Bernie only. The rest of the field is, I don't care who wins, I just want to beat Trump. But Bernie Sanders supporters want only Bernie. And it's actually very reminiscent of Donald Trump in the 2016 election, where, you know, I had a few top candidates, but Trump fans wanted Trump and only Trump.
Right.
So I could see him being the nominee, absolutely.
Well, if Biden drops out, his support surges to like over 38%. Like, it's a pretty big lead. Anyway, Carol Markowitz, reader in the Post, thanks for being here.
Thank
it's Kevin
so much,
McCullough.
Kevin. Thank you.